Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
And as we gather close with those we love the most, read the story of Jesus. Christmas time is here. Can you hear it? The sound of peace on earth. It's the song of Christmas.
Don, for sharing that beautiful song. I love that message. It's the song of Christmas. God came down for us. We celebrate that today. So we're going to sing a number of Christmas hymns and carols that you know. We invite you to sing loudly for all to hear, but mostly for the Lord to hear. Let's stand together as we sing.
Sing joy to the world.
Joy to the world, the Lord.
Oh. forever. Amen. Amen. We continue worshiping as we sing O Holy Night together.
Close your eyes. Just remain standing. Just close your eyes. Can you hear the angel voices? Can you hear them bring praise to who he is and what he's doing? Can you think what it must have been like that night for the shepherds to hear that great host of angels show up and speak just to them to give worship and praise and glory and honor to God for who he is and what he's doing? Can you take a moment and think about right now what it would be if we were to hear the angels? But just as important, if we could lift up praise to who God is and what he's doing and how he came to bring life to us. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for sending your son. Thank you for the miraculous way that he came, that we come to celebrate now as we celebrate Christmas. On this Christmas Eve, may we be reminded that as we are hopeful and expectant of a great time with family, we are hopeful and expectant of a wonderful time with friends. Father, may we be hopeful and expectant of a soon returning King. That the one who was in the manger throne now reigns on the eternal throne, and he will come with a judging throne to rule and reign for all eternity. So God, my prayer is that today we would catch a glimpse of Jesus, our Messiah. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, friends. It's an honor to have you with us. Thank you, Don, and our worship team for leading us in some beautiful songs together. If you notice, we sang and we talked about angels quite a bit. Angels are included in so many songs and in movies, in decorations, on the top of your Christmas tree, on wrapping paper. It's just all over the place. Think about how many songs we sing with angels. Hark the herald, angels sing.
Angels we have heard on high.
It came upon a midnight clear.
A little town of Bethlehem.
Oh, holy night.
Many more.
Wrapping paper, tree toppers, all those things. And then it's also in movies. I'll tell you what, Don, I'll start it and then you help the crowd finish it. This is probably the most famous line from one of the most, the number one Christmas movie of all time, as what we can find on Google. And that is this. Here's the line. Every time a bell rings,
an angel gets its wings.
Isn't that so sweet? You see, you have the beautiful picture of that, and I can hear her saying it right now. That's so sweet. It gives you a warm feeling every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings. That is not true. That is not in the Bible. That is a lie. That is so much untrue. That's as untrue as saying that Die Hard is a Christmas movie, people. It is not. Whatever, Don. It's okay. Die Hard's not a Christmas movie. But angels do appear often. And one of the most amazing places that we find in the scripture where an angel appears, it really starts what we call the nativity narrative. And it begins way back with Zechariah. When an angel appears to announce that Zechariah and his wife would have a child, and it would be John the Baptizer who would be born and prepare the way for Jesus. And then an angel appears not once but twice to Joseph. One time to let him know that Mary is great with child, and another time to warn him after Jesus has been born that they needed to flee into Egypt. And then angels appear to the shepherds in the field to announce that there is a Savior who has come. And then, of course, an angel, it's Gabriel himself, who appears to Mary to let her know that she will give birth to a Savior. Don, would you read Luke chapter 1, 26 through 33?
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end."
Amen. There will be no end. Two thoughts from that beautiful passage in Luke. First, Mary was just an ordinary lady who found favor with God. God chose an ordinary person to accomplish his plan, and he still does that today. If you're here today, I want you to understand, and I don't make light of who you are, but most likely most of us in this room, we would consider ourselves fairly ordinary in the scheme of all the people on the planet. Well, let me tell you this, God calls the ordinary. He called Mary, he called the shepherds, he called Joseph, all ordinary. He calls you and me. Just like Mary, we have been called to carry the Savior to the world. Just like the shepherds, we've been called to worship him and to make him known to the world. You are called to make him known to your little world, and I'm called to make him known to my little world. Next time you think you don't have much influence, or if you think, well, maybe God doesn't need me to share his truth with others, who can I influence, or what difference can I make? I want you to realize that he sent an entire company of angels. This was no small number of angels, all the way to earth just to speak to 3, 4, or 5 simple, ordinary shepherds. An entire host of angels came to announce God and who he was. So remember this, your mission field matters in the kingdom of God. It might be a shepherd's field. It might be at your workplace. It might be at the ballpark. It might be in your home. It might be in your neighborhood. But your mission field matters in the kingdom of God. The second thought, really quick, from this passage, if you'll look again at verse 31, listen to what Don read. He said, "And behold," to Mary, "you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." So the angel said that Jesus' kingdom will never end. I wrote it down this way. His manger throne was temporary, but his kingdom throne is eternal. And so God rules and reigns for all eternity. And hope was born in a stable some 2,000 years ago. But friends, hope still rules and reigns today. Amen? Hope still rules and reigns today. There is hope found not only in Bethlehem, but there's hope found in Albertville, in Boaz, in Gunnersville today. So the Christmas story moves all the way from the manger to the cross where Jesus dies, and then to the empty tomb where he was resurrected 3 days later. Peter Larson gave a famous quote many years ago, and I want to read it to you. And he said this about the eternal understanding and significance of the virgin birth. He says, "The life of Jesus is bracketed by two impossibilities. There's a virgin's womb and an empty tomb. Jesus entered the world through a door marked no entrance. And he left the world through a door marked no exit. The God of the impossible still makes all things possible in our lives." And then Jesus gives us a message from his eternal throne in heaven in Revelation 22. We don't read often from Revelation in the nativity story services or in Christmas Eve candlelight services, but I want you to listen to what it says in Revelation 22, Jesus' words. He says, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star." And then he says, "The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the bride say, 'Come.' And let the one who hears say, 'Come.' And let the one who is thirsty for eternal life come. And let the one who desires take the water of life without price." Friends, I want you to know that Jesus was not just a tiny baby in a manger. He grew to be the man who went to the cross for us, who resurrected into new life for us. He now rules and reigns in heaven, and he will come again with his bride to reclaim those who were left behind, and he will rule and reign for all eternity, and we're allowed to rule and reign with him. Can you imagine? That's the end of the Christmas story. And he says, "Come." So if you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, come to him. How do you do that? You just stop and say, "Jesus, I need you. On this Christmas Eve, I need you to save me. I need you to make me new. I need you to make a place for me in eternity." Listen, he will do so not because of who you are and what you've done. He will do so because of who he is and his promise right here in Revelation. Come. Come. So the angels have told us a lot. Today, an angel speaks, as Jesus and the angels say, "Will you come to Jesus?" Today, as the angels spoke to Mary and to the shepherds, will you walk in the calling that Jesus has for you? The promises of Christmas are just as sure and true today. Oh, what a precious promise from God.
Oh, what a precious promise. Oh, what a gift of love. An angel tells a virgin that she's gonna have a son. And though it's a precious promise, she wonders, how can this be? What will the people say? And what if Joseph can't believe? And her questions and her fears are met with an overwhelming joy that God has chosen her. Oh, what a precious promise. Mary waits as heaven comes to earth. And oh, what a precious promise. Oh, what a gift of love. Joseph makes his choice to do what few men would have done, to take Mary as his bride when she's already carrying a child that isn't his own. Oh, what a precious promise. Mary and the child will have a home. And shepherds stand on a hillside, their hearts racing with the news the angel told them. A star's light fills up the dark sky as the night of precious promise is unfolding. Oh, what a precious promise. Oh, what a gift of love. The waiting now is over and the time has finally come for the God who made this world to roll back the curtain and unveil his passion for the heart of man. Oh, what a precious promise. Lying in a manger in Bethlehem. Oh, what a precious promise. Lying in a manger in Bethlehem. The
promise of God that shows up in the manger. The promise of God that shows up at the cross. The promise of God that shows up in the empty tomb. That's what we come to celebrate today. It's not just little baby Jesus. It is conquering King Jesus. It is Messiah, Savior Jesus. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had lost a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I love that beautiful hymn that we sing. It reminds us of the fact that Jesus' broken body paid the price for you and for me. That his shed blood paid the price for you and for me. So today, as we celebrate communion together, I encourage you to take your elements. As we celebrate communion together, may it be a reminder of the fact that his broken body made a way that grace could be brought to us. His shed blood made a way that salvation could be brought to us. Now, the elements we take today, it's unleavened bread on one side, it's juice on the other, and they're just symbols. It's a symbol of Jesus and his grace and mercy. So we practice open communion, which means anyone is welcome to partake with us and be a part that knows the Lord. But it's so important that you know the Lord. So let me take just a second and remind you, if you've never given your life to him, as I mentioned earlier, just stop right now and say, Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Would you save me? Would you give me new life today? Friends, he's not waiting to see how good you can live for the next 7 days. He's not waiting to see if you can make it to the end of the year sin-free. Here's a clue. You won't. He's not doing that. No. He says, I come because I bring the promise. He's the shepherd. He's the Savior. He's the one who comes and gives new life to us. So if you've never given your life to him right now, would you take just a second to do so? But for those of us in this room, and that would be the majority of us who do have a relationship with Jesus, would you take a moment right now to just stop and reflect on the salvation that he brought to you? The fact that his mercies are new every day, that his grace is made new every day. Would you take just a second and thank him for new life and salvation right now? Father God, as I hold these elements in my hand, a symbol of what your son did for us, I'm acutely aware that it's nothing but the blood of Jesus that brings us salvation. It is not my works. It is not the money I put in an offering plate at church. It is not how well I even love others. It is Jesus' love through salvation for us. So we celebrate that today. We thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name. The scripture tells us that Jesus, after their last supper together, he took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat this and remember it often." It's a reminder for us that he was going to give his life for them. He was going to give his life for us. So now, if you will, take the bread and eat in remembrance of him. And as you turn the element to the other side, we see the juice. It's a reminder of the blood shed for us. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So we're so thankful for his new life in us. And we're reminded in Corinthians, and we're reminded by Jesus himself, that as we take the juice, it's to be a reminder, this element of the precious blood shed for us, who made a way for mercy and grace for you and for me. So take this in remembrance of him. That melody in the song, "Oh, precious is the flow." Sing it with me.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow.
Father God. God, it is nothing but the blood of Jesus that makes us whole. Thank you for new life. Thank you for salvation. Father, thank you for providing a way for us. And I pray as we close things out this morning that each of us would leave here with a song in our heart, with a smile on our face, with a reminder of what you, the light of the world, have done in us. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. As we light candles here in the front and in the back, would you pass it to those around you and be reminded that Jesus also tells us that we are the light of the world. He's the light of the world. And because he lives in us, we too are that light. And so we celebrate his glorious birth. We celebrate his incredible and majestic way he lived his life. We celebrate the beautiful crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord. But we celebrate the fact that the light of the world still shines brightly because we, his people, are his light today. Sing with us. We'll light the candles. You pass the flame.
Silent night,
so we celebrate his light in salvation. We celebrate his light in us. And so together, I encourage you to go and be that light today, tomorrow, on Christmas Day, through the remainder of the year, and throughout 2024. What a blessing it is to be his light.
Let me share a couple of quick announcements with you. You can remain standing before we go. It's been an honor to have you with us today. As you leave, there will be a tub on each side for you to place your used candle in and a tub for your spent communion elements in. If you'll please put those there, that would help us to prepare for the next round this evening. And so we're thankful for that on this Christmas Eve. If you're a guest, we have a gift for you, some locally roasted coffee in a coffee mug right outside the door and to the left. You'll see it right by the TVs. If you're a regular attender, because it is a Sunday, we do have our offering boxes back there. If you're a guest, we just would love to know that you're here. And let me be the first on this Christmas Eve to say to you, Merry Christmas. You're dismissed.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.